Open your Bible with me to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Some people think that seeking God requires tremendous effort from the human. Some people think that they should go through the lengthy security background check or have to be some cousin of a special important person, or they have to be religious fanatic. Not so. What Jesus said totally blew the minds of everyone around him during the time when he was walking on the earth, especially the Pharisees who thought they were the special. They were the ones, since they are the Pharisees, they are the social elite, and they were the wealthy ones, and they were the circumcised Jews. Somehow they thought they cornered heaven. Seeking God does not have to do with the religious, with a truckload of rules and regulations. As a matter of fact, God hates rules and regulations of what the man put together in the religion. Probably many of you noticed that it seems like Jesus takes a special delight in breaking Pharisees' Sabbath rules and regulations and traditions. The door to heaven is wide open for anyone to enter. The foot of the cross of Jesus Christ is a level ground for anyone to reach up to him. However, there is one string attached. Majority of humanity hates this particularly because it requires faith in Jesus Christ in His way. Did you get that? Faith in Jesus Christ in His way. Not anybody's way. Not Oprah Winfrey's way. But in God's way. This morning we find a Syrian general named Naaman, and who was highly decorated, highly respected, and highly egoistic man. And he's facing the one whom he could not conquer. As a matter of fact, he is the one being conquered by this God, and he was pleased that he was conquered. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the giver of our lives. You are the sustainer of our lives. You are the precious Redeemer. We pour out your blessing to us each and every day. We are the ones who don't realize how to receive your blessings in full potential. So we are asking you to teach us and guide us that we may know. And we may know that everything has to be done according to your will. We also pray for the salvation of the President Obama, that he may know one true God, and he may do what is right in your sight. We also lift up our troops around the world, and we're asking you to put the hedge of protection around them, especially one in the harm's way, like in Iraq and Afghanistan, wherever they are. We're asking you to protect them, Lord. We also pray for the law enforcement personnel, Sheriff Department deputies, sorry, the police department officers, border patrol agents, and whoever they are, whichever agency they are working for. And also we pray for the firefighters in this area, as well as wildfire firefighters, such as our own elder, Merrill Simon, and his crew. We're asking you to watch over them as they watch over us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 5 in 2 Kings, please. Now Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a what? Leper. This man was a great man. Obviously, he was a skilled warrior. Obviously, he was a brilliant strategist, even though he was a pagan general. Even with all the respect and honor and prestige, he could not overcome one chink on his armor. He had a leprosy. Now, we don't know what stage of leprosy he was in. Obviously, he was not the beginning stage. And this leprosy has a tendency, if you uncheck, it can be spread throughout the body rather quickly, ultimately will kill the person. Only up to this point, the leprosy cannot be cured. There is no medicine that can cure the leprosy. Leprosy is also known as Hansen's disease. Some of you may have heard that word. It is a disease that attacks the nervous system, and it literally rots away the flesh to the point the limbs start to fall off. Some of you have seen the picture of the lepers who do not no longer have a hand, no longer have a foot, because their flesh being rotted away by this disease. And not only that, as I mentioned, it attacks the nervous system, does not feel the pain. That means the leper can touch the hot object and does not feel the pain, and may not even be able to smell the burning flesh. And he can literally burn his flesh and he would not know. If that's not bad enough, during the time, ancient time, as well as the third world country, they have to be isolated. They have to live in an isolated colony. And that colony is, of course, infested with the rats. At night, the rat will raid this colony. And they literally eat away the still alive leper's body, and they would not feel the pain. And they would not even attack the face. I don't know if you have, I've seen some of the photos of a leper who lost their nose and some of their ears. It's a horrible disease. In the Bible, leprosy often, practically almost every time, represent sin. The worst part is not disease. The worst part is utter isolation from everyone, including the family once he loved. However, this Syrian general was not isolated because it was a different occasion. In Israel, God told them specifically, according to the book of Leviticus chapter 13, if you want to learn more about the leprosy, you can go onto our website. In chapter 13 of Leviticus, you can learn more from there. According to God's commandment, the lepers must be separated. But obviously in Syria, it was not the case. So move down to the verse 2, please. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back the captives, a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on the Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." Who did God use to speak to General Naaman? Did he send Elijah the prophet to knock on his door? "Yo, General, let me come heal you." Or did he send the angel with the fluttering wings and showing his glory and tell him, "I'm here to heal you"? No, he didn't do that. He sent captive Jewish girl who were taken away from her home, away from her parents, and she's a slave status. Thank God for this girl who would speak up to the Naaman and told him about the prophet in Israel. And thank God for those who, every believers who speak up at home about Jesus. And thank God for the believers who speak up about Jesus at workplace, at around the neighborhood. Because of them, people hear the word of God. Folks, people today are seeking. People today are seeking the truth. They are in the search mode, especially as they see the uncertain future in our country. One moment the stock market is so-so, and next moment down on the ground in the valley. And your retirement goes from one end to another end, and practically losing each day. And as well as the rapid change that's taking place around the globe. You have no idea what's going on. And people are wondering what is going on. They are questioning. Guess what, guys? The Word of God has an answer. Amen? The Word of God has an answer. This is not some 4,000 years old book. This is a book that has the answer for every single emotional status, emotional and spiritual status. It has an answer. The reason why people don't find an answer is because they choose not to find it. Verse 4, please. And the Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the God who is from the land of Israel. Then king of Assyria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him the 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and the 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sent a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seek a quarrel with me. According to the conversion of the weight, I checked this with the latest price for the gold and the silver, 750 pounds of gold, silver, and 150 pounds of gold, and 10 changes, costly changes of clothing would cost about $2 million in current rate. That's a lot of money. Somehow, the unbelievers think that if they bring the high-value gift to God or God's man, somehow they think that they will find a favor from God. Not so. At this point, the king of Israel was not in the position to refuse king of Israel's letter, nor the very general who invaded his country not very long ago and defeated them soundly. The king of Israel, Jehoram's mind was blinded by fear and unbelief because he was not close to God by his own choice. Some of you may not be close with God. Even though you are inside of church, you are far away from God by your own choice. Listen, please. The people who are close to the Lord run to Him when the trouble comes because of the Lord is their strong tower where they can find peace and comfort in the midst of the life's storm. But the unbelievers frantically run in every direction except to God and think that somehow they can find some place to hide. It doesn't work that way. God is our strong tower. The idea that we must come to the Lord with a gift and offering of money in order to receive His blessing and grace is reinforced every day in the airwaves of radio and the TV channels. It's known by the people that call themselves the Word of Faith. They say, in order for us to receive blessing, we must sow the seed of faith in the ground to reap the harvest of God's blessing. But truth be known, we know that the seed means money, and the ground would be their pocket, and the blessing is whatever that ails you. And their idea, if you want something, you gotta claim it. It doesn't work that way. God is not some bellhopper in heaven just waiting for you to give order to Him. He's God. And we are His subject. We are His servants. Move down to verse 8, please. So it was Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes, and he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." And Naaman went with his horse and the chariot, great entourage here, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him and saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." Elisha knew that this general must be humbled before he received blessing. See, accustomed to the protocol of a palace, the general would bring this, esteemed leaders would bring this thing and stand in front of the prophet. He will be recognized publicly. And then he will present this lavish gift to the prophet, and prophet will exaggerate the appreciation to the king, to the general. That's how it's supposed to go. And that's what he expected. What happened to him? He stood there and wait, ring the bell, nothing, nobody shows up, ring the bell. Oh yeah. Hey dude, go down to 21 miles to Jordan River and dip yourself 7 times, dude. And you'll be cleansed. Jordan River, would you put it up? There it is. This is the Jordan River picture from Israel. I went there and I looked down and said, I heard the Jordan River so many times in the Bible, so I was expecting sparkling, all this bubble coming up. I looked at, muddy water, eh? And some people want to be baptized, so I went into the muddy water. It looked like a rice paddy water. And actually, rice paddy water is not very nice. It's not hygienically, it's not nice either. I walked in and baptized people, but it was not something special about the river. Folks, listen up. Before sinners receive God's grace, they must submit to God's will. Before they receive God's grace, they must submit to God's will. 1 Peter 5:5, please. Keep your finger in 2 Kings. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. You know where the 1 Peter is, right? Since we recited the whole thing? Right before 2 Peter. Some people are so good at obvious things. That will be our worship leader, Mark Trudeau. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Are you there yet? Okay. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And James chapter 4, verse 10 says, "Humble yourself to the Lord, and He will lift you up." Same thing. Back to the 2 Kings, please. Verse 11 this time. But Naaman became furious. I don't blame him. Went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy." Verse 12, "Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of the Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them?" Note that, please. "Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in rage. Naaman had all figured it out. He, in his great need, he anticipated that God would do it such a way. The prophet would come out with a great anticipation, wave his hand and call out the name of God. But it didn't work that way. God didn't move. The God of Israel didn't move according to his plan. Folks, basic reason of his anger was pride. Basic reason for the anger was pride. And the basic reason for the rejection of God's salvation through Jesus Christ is pride. If you are an unbeliever, if you are not a born-again Christian, let me make it very, very clear to you, you are not a Christian. Just because you were born in America, just because you came to church, went to church a few times, that doesn't mean you are a Christian. Unless you are born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus Christ said. If you want to know where it is, I would say to you, it's John 3:3. Bible says so. Bible is the word of God. As we recited before, it has a final authority, it's the absolute truth. So this is the point. God delights to surprise us with His goodness if only we will unlock the door of obedience with the key of faith, which He gave to us, given to us, and push it open, walk through. We have to have a faith in God, and we have to be obedient to God to follow through. Great theologian, late Dr. Donald Barnhouse, eloquently and simply described about the man's choice for the salvation through Jesus Christ. Everybody has a privilege of going to heaven God's way or going to hell in their way. Isn't that true? God says, this is the way. Jesus said, I am the way. Not a way, the way, the truth, the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. And people refuse that. Unfortunately, more people are willing to go to hell because they rely on their own goodness, riches, intelligence, or religion than those who simply are willing to believe in God's way to heaven. Listen, please. You all know that many people have been visited our church in the last 8 years. And some never come back. Is it because I don't tell the truth? I can tell you this much. I speak the truth. Some people, good number of people among those who choose not to come back to our church, don't want that truth. Until this time, they thought they were Christian. And they come here and they hear the word of God, you have to be born again to be a Christian. And they don't like that. So what do? Instead of seeking the truth, they go to another church where they don't hear that. And you may wonder, you mean there's other churches that don't talk about salvation? Yeah, there are plenty of them. There are plenty of churches that don't talk about salvation. They will talk about good motivational things. You're a good man, you're a good person, so you will be in heaven. Not according to my Bible, not according to the Bible you have on your laps. Our righteousness is nothing more than filthy rag in God's eyes. So should I speak the truth or should I make you feel good? Speak the truth. Folks, you can run, but you cannot hide from the God's truth. Naaman had another problem. He referred to the rivers back in Damascus instead of the muddy water in the Jordan River. He thought his healing depends on the better water. Better water, better healing. It sounds logical, don't you think? Put the map back up. Thank you. Map back up. It's already there. Here is a Samaria. Okay? No, not there. Here is a Samaria. There it is. And here is Damascus. He traveled about 120 miles this much. This is where Elisha is living. And here's the Jordan River. It's only 21 miles straight distance. he rather go back 120 miles to dip himself in the Abana River or the Pharpa River than Jordan River, 21 miles. Let me put it in our term. Some people, instead of seeking the true salvation, coming to know Jesus Christ so they can be saved and have an eternal life, they rather go back to their old lifestyle, all the way back to the place where they would stay, instead of seeking God from here to there. What am I saying? They are so close to salvation, but their heart is so far away. Why? Remember the basic reason I said? The pride. Pride in the people's heart. Somehow thinking that I can make my way to heaven. Not according to Jesus. Verse 13, please. And his servant came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, and according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like a flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Only when the Syrian general abandoned his idea how God should work, and he was healed, his restoration was happened. In the same way, we must recognize that God's method of working out his plan in our lives sometimes don't make any sense at all. And it is no wonder people often say God walks in a mysterious way. That is why we need to be willing to turn from our own ideas of how God walked and to follow him, and acknowledging that his way is not our ways, but they are always the best. Isaiah chapter 55, please. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 9. 55, 6. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Are you there yet? Okay. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought. Let him return to the Lord. He will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts, not your thought, nor your ways, my ways, says the Lord. As for the heaven, the higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I wonder, Naaman's men scooped up several buckets full of the Jordan River water so they can market this thing as a fountain of the youth, and when they go back to the Syria. But one thing, if that's their thought, one thing they forget is, it is not the water that healed the general, but it was the God of heaven and earth. Can you imagine the respected general stripping himself down to nothing in front of his own soldiers? To do that, you got to have a faith in somebody. Don't you think? This is considered as he's a 4-star general stripping himself down in front of private and walking into this muddy water. Probably he had to ask himself, "Am I so crazy enough to believe in this God?" He dipped himself once, twice, 3 times, and went on. 6 times he went down. When he came up for 7th time, his flesh was still leprous. He dipped himself one more time. When he came out, his flesh was like a baby's skin. God restored him because he had a simple faith in God. Note how they said his flesh like turning like a child's skin. Faith required action of obedience, and obedience needs a starting point of faith in God. Faith and obedience must go hand in hand. You cannot have a faith without obedience. You cannot have obedience without faith. Obedience without faith is a stupidity. Faith without obedience is a laziness. Verse 15, please. And he returned to the man of God, and he and his all his aid, and came and stood before him. He said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth." Note that there is no God in all the earth except Israel. "Now, therefore, please take the gift from your servant." But he said, "As the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, "Then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. But in these things, may the Lord pardon for your servant, that when my master goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, I bow down in the temple of Rimmon. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in these things." Then he said to him, "Go in peace." So he departed from him a short distance. Why short distance? We'll talk about that in next teaching. This is a fine display of the gratitude. Naaman was like one of the leper who was healed. You remember the 10 lepers were healed and only one came back in Luke chapter 17. And if you notice, both are the foreigners. In those days, people had an idea, and you may wonder why to take the mule load of earth. They had an idea that God was residing in the earth of that nation. So when you scoop up when you leave the land, you're leaving the God behind. But at the same time, Naaman acknowledged that God is God of all the earth. Why would he still take the earth? That's his way to giving testimony. When he took the two mule loads of the earth to the Assyria from Israel, and people will ask, his king will ask, his colleague will ask, "What is this for?" And he will explain about his new faith, newfound faith in God of Israel. Perhaps Elisha was convinced that the Lord would personally convict Naaman's idea, he would outwardly worshiping in the temple of Rimmon. That would be their equivalent to the Baal. And God would convict him later. When a brand new believer become a person become a brand new believer, let's not dump so much information onto that person. Let God cleanse that person first. And it takes time, folks. We'll make 4 applications. Number one, we must acknowledge our own limited perspective. We must acknowledge our own limited perspective. What am I talking about? Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. Before we can respond to his call, we need to acknowledge our own sin. Many people think that we can make our way to heaven. That is wrong perspective. That's the limited perspective. The true perspective is only through Jesus Christ. Second application, only when we hear the truth will we discover God's path. God is not limited in one particular way. He used a variety of means to bring us to the salvation and close fellowship with him and great knowledge of his will. Third application, only when we reach the end of our own ways will we be ready to follow the Lord's way. When we reach the end of our ways, because we have a tendency to hold on to the things. I don't know if you, I'm sure you heard this story, but I'm going to repeat it anyway. There was a man who was driving the hairpin curve on the mountaintop road too fast, and his car went over. He jumped out of his car and he somehow grabbed a branch sticking out from the cliff. He's hanging there all, with all his might, and there's nobody near him. And even though he didn't believe God, and all of a sudden he became a believer of God, he said, God, if you're up there, please help me. Please rescue me. To his surprise, God answered in audible voice, which doesn't happen. This is not a true story. I said, I'm here. Let go of that branch. I'll catch you. He thought about it for a moment. He said, is anybody else up there? That is the typical mentality. We will do anything we can to get our way first if nothing else happens. And then what is the typical way to say? Since nothing else worked, all I can do is pray. No, the pray is the best you can do. Fourth application, only when we do as God requires will we receive His blessing. Was it God's will to heal Naaman? Yes. What if the Naaman refused to dip in the Jordan River as he was told? He wouldn't be healed. Similarly, God leads in a way with His word, His way, and His people. Let's be sensitive to Him. Stand up and we'll pray. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your head, please. I don't know where you are spiritually. Please don't move around. This is a very important time. I don't know where you are spiritually. If you don't know Jesus as a Lord and Savior, if you're not a born-again Christian, when you walk out the door, you are pretty much rejecting Him. I'm going to make my way to heaven. The truth is, you cannot. You cannot. So why would you take a chance? If you are smart enough to get the car insurance, if you are smart enough to get life insurance, should you not get permanent life insurance so that you don't end up in the hell? Don't let the pride get in your way. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. You don't have to do anything other than simply committing your life to Him. So if you're not a born-again Christian, if you have not received Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, you can do one thing. You can commit your life. And as an expression of that commitment, you can raise your hand to let me know. If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ into your heart, raise your hand. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Don't let the pride get in your way. God bless you too. I didn't see your hand. All right, you can put your hands down. Including those two ladies, I want all of you to repeat after me, please. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I realize that my sin have separated me from you. But I turn away from my sins. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. So I ask you to be my Savior and Lord. Come into my heart. Thank you. I am born again. Welcome to the family of God.